Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Again, I won't rehash this, but in our King James Bible, and I'm a King James Bible man, some places it says Holy Spirit, and some places it says Holy Ghost, and in different places it's translated Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. And some people have criticized our Bible because, well, they've mistranslated that. It should be either Holy Spirit or it should be Holy Ghost. It shouldn't be one or the other. And the reason for this, why some places it's translated Holy Spirit and other places it's translated Holy Ghost, and there's only one. There's one God. We believe in the Trinity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay? The reason we say that, the Holy Ghost is proper, is of the triunity, that's the proper name. We see that in Matthew chapter number 28. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when you see that Holy Ghost, it refers to his personage by name. When you see the word, when you see the name Holy Spirit, it refers to his working. The working of the Holy Ghost, his working. The fruit of the Spirit is, are you following? So when you see, and sometimes in the same passage, it'll say the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit in different parts of Scripture, same place. It talks about the Holy Ghost speaks of his proper name, Father God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost. When it says Holy Spirit, it speaks of his work. The Holy, are you following? Now, whether or not you agree with that or not, that's neither here nor there. You've been wrong before. But I'm just saying, there's only one Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Spirit. When it says here, the seven spirits of God, people are confused. What is the seven spirits of God? I'm glad you asked. We find in Isaiah chapter number 29, verse number 13. Let's see if I got it marked right. Yes. No. You wouldn't believe my notes. I got it all. It's Isaiah 11:2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. When it refers to the seven spirits of God, it refers to the completed work of the Father, the completed work of the Godhead, his completed work. We know the word, the number seven means completion. A lot of people think perfection, and we could go there, but literally that number seven means the completed work of God, the work, heaven and earth, and the 7 days, the creation on the seventh day. Anyway, that's a whole other subject, but the seven spirits, it refers to the completed work of the Father. Isaiah 11:2, verse 2, it speaks of the sevenfold working of the Godhead. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, of counsel, of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear of the Lord. There's seven things that's mentioned. It's referring to the seven spirits of the God, of the seven spirits here of God, the complete work. Are you following? There's not seven spirits out there, Holy Spirits. There's only one. But he refers to the complete work. And then, of course, the seven stars. We've already know what that is talking about, the churches and all. Then the pastors all involved in all that. And then he says, I know thy works. Every church that he addresses, he says, I know thy works. And again, let me give you just a minute of time here. Again, you've heard this before, but I need to pound it home. The Lord knows our works, whether it's good or bad. In these churches, I know your works, and he commends them for some things. You've done good, but I also know your works. I know what you do bad. So a lot, he knows the good things we've done, and he knows the bad things we've done. We cannot hide anything from God. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your husband, your wife, or anybody else, but you're not hiding it from God. He said, I know thy works. And thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. That's interesting. Thou hast a name that livest and art dead. I got some things here and I have to move on. From the outside, this church at Sardis was a moving church. You have a name. People think that you're alive. You know, it's not a church that we would think today. Some churches, a lot of churches are in disrepair. And they, you know, because of whatever reason, they've lost members and the church is kind of in disrepair. Or maybe the pastor's about to resign. We think of churches that are struggling and all. That's not this church at Sardis. He said, you have a name that's alive. You're alive. As people look out there and look at the church at Sardis, man, there's some great things happening there. But he makes this statement. Jesus said, but you're dead. But he makes a statement. Jesus said, but you're dead. People look at you and say, well, they're alive, but really, I know your works and you're really dead. Vance Havner said this. Many of you know who Vance Havner is, a great preacher of the past. He said this. Whether it's a church or an organization, if it does not start and build upon the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, it always, if it starts with a man, and we could think of even some great movements and all, that some great men have started, okay, I won't name him, but we can think of some, you know. It always starts with a man, and then there's a movement. That man creates a movement. And then it creates a machine, and then there's a monument. In other words, it dies. Vance Havner says, and there's so much truth in that. From a man to a movement to a machine and to a monument. And that's what happened at the Church of Sardis. It became a monument. You're dead now. And I won't name some churches, but there's been some great churches, and I'll pick on Baptist churches, much less other religious churches, Christian churches out there. Some great Baptist churches had some great men of the past, great men, had thousands of people in the auditorium. When they died, that church died. Okay, just an example of that. And he's saying, I know you have a name that thou livest, and you're dead. Kind of, they're like whitewashed. Jesus, no, they weren't lost people, and there were some saved people in this church. But how Jesus told those Pharisees, hey, on the outside, you're like whitewashed sepulchers, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Literally, you stink, you know, and you're dead. Well, that's what he's saying in this church at Sardis, that people think you're alive. You have a name. They were known for being alive. Happening things at that church, but thou art dead. And then look in verse number 2. But be what? First of all, they were a dead people. I have a little outline here if you want to keep up with. They were a dead people. The church, thou art dead. Verse number 2 and 3, they were a dying people also. Be watchful. And again, remember the story about the watchmen on the towers, and they didn't pay attention and they lost the city. Well, Jesus said, be watchful and strengthen the things remain that are ready to die. So not only some things of dead, thou art dead, there are things that are dying. Not everything is bad yet, but there are things that are starting to die. And he says, strengthen those that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. There's a lot of problems in this church. And just remember that these church letters were passed around to the different seven churches. Now, just a reminder, the church at Ephesus read this church letter to Sardis. And Laodicea read these church letters to Thyatira, and they just passed these letters around. And it was just kind of comparing the churches as a point of a compliment and then a point of discipline. And so it's interesting. He says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse number 3. Remember thou, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Every time God gives us, as believers, opportunities to repent. Remember we looked at Thyatira, he said, repent, repent. Well, he's telling this church here, I'm giving you an opportunity to repent. Be watchful and repent. And if thou therefore shall not watch, don't pay attention, if you're not seeing what's going on in your own assembly, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, he's not talking about a rapture here, okay? He's literally talking about a judgment in that church, that he's fixing to judge that church. Now, we know Scripture talking about another, about he will come in the translation of the saints. But just so you know, he's not talking here about the rapture. He's talking about the judgment. You need to watch. You need to repent. You need to straighten up. And if you don't, I'm going to come upon you. You're not going to know what hit you. You're kind of more or less in layman's terms. I'm going to come, and you're not even going to know that I'm coming. And their judgment is be upon you. So he's telling them this. Wake up. Be on guard. The centuries were asleep at that city wall. Well, they were asleep in the church also.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.